So this morning we have a guest speaker, and I've been looking forward to this for some time. This is this guy is definitely one of the most unusual relationships I've ever gotten into. Let me tell you kind of how it started. I don't do Facebook much anymore, but I used to do it quite a bit. I would check it every morning. And one morning I got up and I pulled up Facebook, and there's this bald guy sitting at a desk, and he's talking about leadership. And I've never seen the guy before, never heard it, but I'm into leadership, so I listened to the thing, and he's really good. And I was like, gosh, I wonder where this guy came from. And I thought it was an ad, you know, like how they'll do, but it wasn't an ad. And I was like, huh, interesting. So I kept on scrolling. The next morning, I get up, I check Facebook, and he's there again, I guess because the algorithm noted that I watched it. So now they're like, oh, you must want more of this guy at his desk. So I listened to him again. It was great content. And so by the third day, I was like, who is this cat, and why is he on my Facebook feed? So I go and I look, and his name is Bob, and we're friends somehow, but I don't know how. Like, I've never, I don't remember ever Facebook requesting him, and he certainly didn't friend request me. I'm not, to this day, I'm not sure how we got connected, other than I did, I've traced it back. I was having breakfast with Ed Augustine, and he was scrolling through my Facebook. I think he might have hooked us up intentionally. But anyway, it was at the very beginning of Tapestry that this happened. This is maybe a year and 3 or 4 months ago or something. And in that season, I was in a time of intense prayer and fasting, and I was praying for strategic relationships. God, connect us with the right people who are supposed to be a part of this. Help me develop those connections. And so, you know, when you're praying like that, you sort of go through life going, you know, like the old Dr. Seuss, are you my mother? Could you be a connection? Could you be the banker, the waitress? Could it be you? Could it be you? And so this guy appearing on my Facebook feed, I was like, could it be that this guy is strategic somehow to what we're doing? So I sent him the most unusual of emails, and I said, listen, you don't know me, but I think it's possible maybe we're supposed to be in each other's lives. Which, okay, so in retrospect, I recognize how wacky that is, but at the time, it seemed like a natural thing to do, and so I said, and I know this is strange, let me just tell you a little bit about who I am, and you just came up my Facebook feed, so I just didn't know if you might be interested in having coffee, and if I need to, I'll even, I know you're some kind of a consultant, so I'll even pay if I need just to get the time. I think maybe we're supposed to meet. And so he responded in a day or so very warmly, and he said, hey, that's bold. I like it. Let's do it. So we set up a time to meet for coffee, and honestly, it wasn't until that morning I pull up at the coffee place. It wasn't until then that I realized how really bizarre and potentially dangerous this was, just meeting some strange guy off the internet. So I was in my car, and I was a little nervous about it, and I was like, okay, so Lord, I feel like I've already made a fool of myself with this introduction, and so this could be the most awkward meeting in the world. But I feel like I'm following you. So either way, God, I'm kind of putting this on you. It's theologically sound. This is on you. And I went in and met him for the first time and immediately felt a connection. And we share so much of the same heart for things, heart for the Lord, perspectives on life in the church. His testimony was immediately impactful to me based on where I was and what was going on in my life. So I immediately invited him to come work with us at a marriage retreat, he and his beautiful wife, and they did, and it was awesome. And so we've just developed kind of a coffee cup relationship, and it's been really, really a blessing to me. And so we've tried a couple times to find a window when we could get him here, and it worked out for today. So he and I are similar in a lot of respects, and then in other respects couldn't be more different. Bob is an alpha male. I am not. Bob is confident and assertive. I'm riddled with self-doubt. Bob is ruggedly handsome. I'm dashingly handsome. Bob is Vin Diesel. I'm Vin Supreme Unleaded something. But what I love most about him is that this is a guy that when he talks about the Word of God, it's clear that he carries with him a Genesis to Revelation understanding of the Word. And I love that. I pray regularly to be that kind of teacher that speaks in the context of the whole counsel of the Word of God. And so every time he speaks to me about the Word of God, it is so rich and so full and tapestry. You're about to have a buffet laid out for you this morning. So the question is, if it's possible, if it's really possible that the God who spoke the universe into existence is here to speak to you, are you willing to receive it? Will you sit on the edge of your seats? Will you take notes? Will you listen like somebody who's about to hear something important? Because it changes everything. Jesus said, blessed are those who hunger and thirst because they're the ones who will be filled. That means come hungry, leave happy. Right? So are you hungry? All right. Then let's just determine before we hear a word that we're going to be grateful for the incorruptible seed of the Word of God. And let's welcome to this stage our guest speaker, Pastor Bob Groves. Bob.
Good morning. I've been stalked by one guy in my life. I actually went back and found the message Gary sent me, and I brought it with me. It said, hey, Bob, my name is Gary, and I feel like I'm supposed to meet you. Would that be possible? I said to my wife, babe, I just got the strangest message. She's like, just respond to it. I'm like, all right. And so we did, and I have a real appreciation for Gary, his wife. I love Tapestry, by the way. I love the name the first time I heard of it. Hanging out with Gary, I understand your heart, and to see this room today, to hear the worship. I was thinking during worship, standing in his presence, a litmus test for me has always been, can you stand there and not feel like you don't belong? Like you should repent and cry and weep? Or can you just be in the presence of God and know that because of Jesus Christ, you're okay to be there? Yeah. And just an amazing time. And the unplugged this morning was great. So anyway, I'm excited to be here. Gary is a brave man, your pastor. I would text him or send him an email like, how long should I be here? He's like, don't worry about it. Do you have an altar call? Don't worry about it. Do whatever you want. And he doesn't know who he's got in front of him right now. I haven't done this in a while, so I don't know if my notes are 15 minutes or 2 hours and 15 minutes. And so, you know, if you feel like, okay, Bob, I'm tapping out, just quietly exit as you leave. But thank you for being here. I'm going to speak out of the book of John today, the Gospel of John, chapter 5, and I shared this morning with the leaders. If you know me at all, you know the book of John is my favorite. I've studied it and taught it more than any of the other books in the Bible by far. And I read where a writer one time said, the book of John is shallow enough that a child can understand it and deep enough that you can never reach the bottom of it. And I love that. Because I've taught and read and read and read and read, and it's amazing how the Word of God is alive, right? Have you ever read a passage and you never saw it before? And then you go back to it and it's not alive anymore, but the Spirit went somewhere else for the rhema, for the living Word of God for you? That's how I feel when I read John. And so I'm excited to be here. We're going to talk about this guy in chapter 5. But one of the things about John that is so cool is John wants you to know that Jesus is Savior, but Jesus is your friend. There's little details in the book of John, like when you read that the apostles and Jesus went to the wedding. I love the detail it says, because they were invited. That's just a neat, you didn't need to know that, right? But he told you. And then when you get to the woman caught in adultery, he writes in the sand. Wouldn't you love to know what he wrote that got rid of everyone's judgment? But he doesn't tell us. He just wrote something. And everyone quit judging and went home. And when you read the book, and if you'll just put yourself in the stories, enjoy it, hear the crowd, see it, smell it, like get into it, because the Word of God is amazing. Yes. And I'll tell you, I'm used to interacting. And anytime you're quiet, I think I haven't made a point. So if it's 2 hours and 15 minutes, it becomes 2 hours and 30 minutes because I got to make my point better. So it'll help you say, amen. See, now we're getting it. So anyway, John chapter 5, verse 1. Sometime later, Jesus went up to Jerusalem for one of the Jewish feasts. In Jerusalem, near the Sheep Gate, is a pool. In the Aramaic language, it is called Bethesda. It's surrounded by five rows of columns and a roof over them. One person was there who had not been able to walk for how long? 38 years. Here a great number of disabled people used to lie down. And among them were the blind, those who could not walk, those who could hardly move. And I love this verse. Jesus saw him lying there. And he knew that the man had been in that condition for a long time, so he asked him, "Do you want to get well?" One of the craziest questions in the Bible, isn't it? Do you want to be healed? Sir, have you ever asked someone a question and they don't answer it? Doesn't that kind of torque you off a little bit? He asked him, "Does he want to be healed?" And he said, "Sir," the disabled man replied, "I have no one to help me get in the pool when an angel stirs up the water. I try to get in, but someone else always goes down ahead of me." Jesus said to him, "Get up, pick up your mat, and walk." And the man was healed right away. He picked up his mat and walked, and this happened on a Sabbath day. So the Jewish leader said to the man who had been healed, "It's the Sabbath. The law doesn't allow you to carry your mat." Yeah, exactly. And he replied, "The one who made me well said to me, 'Pick up your mat and walk.'" And they walk, and they asked, "Who's this fellow who told you to pick it up and walk?" The one who was healed, again, don't you love this? He had no idea who Jesus was. Jesus had slipped away into the crowd that was there, and later Jesus found him in the temple, and Jesus said to him, "See, you're well again. Stop sinning, or something worse may happen to you." The man went away, and he told the Jewish leaders it was Jesus who made him well. So get into this picture for a moment. It would be like an open-air trauma center, a hospital with no walls. There are people, and I looked up the word multitude to get a feel for, are we talking 10 people? And his chances, we're talking thousands of people, but we're at least talking hundreds of people in this condition. And Jesus picks this guy and literally flips his world upside down. But imagine for a moment, I want to get this in context. Imagine if you're sitting here today and you're battling something since 1984. That's 38 years. And imagine if you were in that condition that right here, before you leave this room, that Christ said, "You know what? Your battle's over. We're going to change your story right here." It's hard for us to get our head around because some of the things we do when we walk with Christ is we start associating time, tenure of a battle with degree of difficulty. How long have you been struggling with that? That's pretty hard. Or we start putting labels on it. What is it you're struggling with? Pray for you, brother. We start figuring that this is harder than that. Mine's worse than yours. I can, you know? And all at once, what we do is we start putting our rules on what Christ can truly do for us or for other people because we put all this stuff on it. And Jesus is not worried about our rules and the limitations we want to put on him. Amen? So years ago, Sean and I, by the way, I want you to see my incredible family here. Family, raise your hands. Raise them higher. Raise them higher. And on the end, Mike, raise your hand. My buddy Mike came to support me today, but that's my kids and grandkids, just a lot of people. That's who it is. Sean and I, though, almost 15 years ago, we were going to marital counseling. And after a while, I said, "I want to go on my own." And the first day I went, have you ever heard the scripture that says the truth will? Yeah, that's a, don't you hate that scripture? So I went and saw Paul Van Valen. That was my friend and my counselor. And the first time I ever met with him on my own, I said, hey, I need to learn some things about me. And I asked him a question. I said, you know, what's broken here? It's not the words I used, but I'll never forget what Paul said to me. He said, do you really want to know? And it was kind of a gut check, because I wanted to be with Sugar, right? And I said, yeah, I want to know. And what he said to me was horrendous. He said, you're, and he put a label on me. And it hurt. It was heavy. But in a nanosecond, in a moment, the Spirit of God spoke to me. And this is exactly what I heard. The world has labeled you. And all my shirts, my t-shirts, I cut labels out of them. I can't stand that tag in the back. And what I saw in the Spirit was the label. And I saw God take the scissors and cut the label out of my life. And when I left, I called Sean, and she said, well, how'd it go? What'd he say? And I was now crying like a baby. And when I first told her, well, here's what he said, that don't sound so good. But here's what God said. I'm just telling you that whatever you've battled with for a while, God can do in a second what you can't do in years. Amen? And so who here would be honest and say, I need God to do something in my life today? Okay, four honest people. We'll pray for the rest of you. But what if he wants to do that today? I mean, like, before you leave this room, what if he wants to do a mark your clock kind of moment here? What if, like, when you leave, you need to look at the watch and know right here in this moment, God changed my life forever, cut a label out of my life? I want to entitle this talk, When Jesus Flips Your World Upside Down. Let's pray. Thank you, Father, for letting us be here today. Thank you for your presence. Thank you for your word, God. I pray that your word would be seed that would bear fruit that would remain today, God. Hide me behind Christ. Only let him be elevated today, God, that all of us would be drawn to him. We thank you for it in Christ's name, and each of us would say amen. Amen. So that's my introduction, so that lets you know we're going to be here a while, right? But think of this scene, though, seriously, like, we have the poor and the broken around these pools. And there's a lot of argument whether the pool really did anything. Was it an underground spring? Even if it's real. But they have found the pools. They know that existed. But did that thing happen where someone would get healed? There's tens and hundreds or thousands of people and they need something. But they're in a condition where it said nobody can help each other. Would you just tell the person beside you, you can't help me with what I need today? Would you tell them that? Tell them, you can't help me with this. Here's another one. Let's get into this. Tell them they're looking a lot better than you expected today. (laughs) 1984, 38 years ago, Ghostbusters was the movie. Who are you going to call? Floppy disk came out in 1984. I told my wife this the other day. She's like, by the way, why'd they call them floppy disk? They didn't flop. Remember AOL and dial-up? Interest rates, to help you out a little bit, were 10 3/4 then. Wow. Tina Turner had a question. See, now we're tracking. We're seeing who's what age in the room now. But imagine that until today, from that until today, or from today until the year 2060. That's 38 years. To be waiting on God, something that maybe has changed your life, changed the trajectory of your life, immobilized you, paralyzed you. defined you before I was, since I'm. A moment that may have changed you, where the rules in your life, the rules in your marriage changed. You lost a piece of you, and you never recovered fully from that. What if? What if today is your day? Just think what you're telling yourself right now. Our own arguments get in the way. Years ago, I was speaking to the church I was pastoring, and it was like today. I guess there's a lot of guests here, but we would have a lot of guests on Sunday. And there was a guy sitting somewhere like in this area. Andy, is that right? Andy. And anyone remember like blue hippie glasses? Guy had long hair, but he was strung out. And as I was speaking, his head was dropping and he was dropping all around. And I'd never seen him before, but I knew he was strung out on something. And when I ended the message, I just said, you know, if you want God to do something for your life today, come up. And this guy came up and he had no church background at all, but the label, the thing, was heroin. He was a heroin addict. And I knelt down before the guy and he just looked at me and he was broken and undone. And all he said was the shortest prayer I've ever heard in my life. He just looked up and he said, help. That's all he said. He never said, help Jesus, help me break this, anything. Help. And he looked at me and he looked back up and he was broken. Help. Help. Service was over. I didn't know the guy. He wasn't from the area. And months later, 6, 8 months, a year, I don't really know, Sean intercom me one day and she said, hey, there's a guy here to see you. He says he knows you or whatever was said. And he walks in to the office and now he's dressed and put together and he says, hey, you remember me? Like, I'm sorry I don't, man. Ha. Ah. He says, you remember that? I said, oh yeah. He said, that was me. He says, I went free that day, and I wanted to come back and tell you what God had done in my life. And he had moved up to Maryland or somewhere and put his life together. Just amazing, man. But if you knew the guy, I'm sure there was lots of starts and stops and burnt bridges and all kinds of stuff, and we would have labeled it. One word. They're waiting. They're waiting on the Lord. They that wait on the Lord will renew their strength. Anybody waiting? You know what that word means? It means to lean forward with anticipation. I'm a horrible waiter sometimes, man. I'm sure I've helped God more than he wanted me to. I'm sure God's like, go get him. He's out doing stuff I'm supposed to be doing. But to wait on the Lord, if you're waiting, it's easy to wait for a day, a year, huh? A decade, 38 years. And to still be leaning forward with anticipation and renewing your strength. But they're waiting on this pool, this thing. One of the things I found out is pain is a revealer. When you're waiting and you're not sure, you almost always turn to what you believe in most. You'll almost go always to a person, a place, or a thing when it's not working out. And I don't want you to raise hands or think, you know, answer it, but where do you turn? Who do you turn to? Where do you go when you're battling or struggling the most? There's a pool, right? And so this guy says Jesus sees him. And during worship, it was already said, Jesus sees you. Jesus sees you. And he asked this question, do you want to be made whole? Do you want to be healed? And the problem with if you're healed is you can't act unhealed anymore. The moment he does something for you, the game changes. And it's not easy to make that shift from who I've been to something new because God did something. Like my friend with the blue glasses, like he was a heroin addict for however long, and then he wakes up and he's like, I'm no longer that guy. I don't know how to be the guy I'm to be healed. And he says, get up, take up your bed, and walk. It's the wrong day. It's a miracle on the wrong day, and it's just totally unexpected. Anyone like my age, like 58-ish? Thank you. I appreciate helping me out right now. Sean and I pray in the morning on a regular basis, and when we pray, I'm not going to do it because it would take me a week to get up, but we sit on the floor just for 5-10 minutes to pray. But when I get up, I got to roll over. I got to push myself up, and I'm like, oh, my gosh, that hurts. And then she won't admit it, but I have to grab her and help her up. That's just 10 minutes. This dude's been sitting here for 38 years. Atrophy, like all this stuff, and Jesus just says, get up, man. You have to appreciate the depth of this miracle. There's stuff that hasn't been used for years. And in a moment, he totally restores it and says, just go, get up. And it says he's immediately made well. The cool thing about it is that word, do you want to be healed? The word actually is whole. W-H-O-L-E. You see, Christ is not only interested in one part of your life. He's interested in your whole life. He wants to touch it all. And so when he touched that guy, he was made whole. I mean, this is like grace on blast, is it not? You know what grace means? Say yes, of course you do. You don't know? All right, let me talk to her. Unearned favor. Unmerited favor, undeserved favor, that's grace. It's where you get what you don't deserve. By the way, awesome drum riff a while ago. I was digging that. Sorry. Random brain, man. I was like, my wife later, why'd you do that? Like you. I did a course on grace years ago. And it says the moment you measure it, or you put a rule on it, it's no longer grace. Church rule, your rule, it doesn't matter. Because true grace is unearned, undeserved, unmeasured favor. Amazing grace. How sweet the sound. Like, man, to walk in the grace of God means he just wants to dump a whole lot of it on your life today, like without measure and without deserving it. He wants to grace you. But then we get to verse 14 and it jacks it up. Sees him later and he says, hey, quit sinning, man, or it's going to get worse. And I dug into that this week. I'm like, it's crazy, right? He did all of this, and then he finds him later, and he says, tighten up. And what I thought about was, Jesus said it's grace and truth, right? And you can get so excited on a Sunday where God's done something, grace, and forget there's the balance of truth. And it's almost like Jesus is saying, I didn't set you free from that to start doing that. And a lot of times it's like we get rid of the gross and graphic, and it's like, at least it's not that bad anymore. And you don't realize, like, if he wants to save the whole of you, he wants you to be completely free everywhere. Hello? You're getting quiet on me. It's getting longer now. See, when he tells this guy to quit sinning, though, he wouldn't tell him to do that if he didn't have the ability to do that. And so if he comes by our seat today and he says, hey, you know I've done this for you, but you're dabbling with this. It's over. He wouldn't tell us to quit if we couldn't, to change our life holistically, to be made whole. You see, Christ is interested in you being set free completely. It makes no sense to be like church face. I'm good. How are we doing? Oh, good, Pastor. How are you? And inside we're broken and we're limping. Like Christ would much rather deal with the inside of us than worry about the outside of us. And so if you're here today and it's like on the outside, yeah, I know how to put on the game face, but inside I'm battling, man. It's like Christ says, okay, hold up, let's deal with that. I want to make you whole today. So that's my introduction. Let's talk about mats for a moment. Anyone ever been to the amphitheater concert? Anyone ever sat on the lawn? Sold out concert ever? Did you ever put your mat down? Put a chair down? Put a blanket down? And you have these rules in your head? Not only is it that, I've got a 20-foot perimeter. Only problem is other people don't know your rules. Have you ever been there? Like, you put this down, you get there early. Put my mat down, right? And that should protect me from that wall to that wall. And then someone shows up. And the wrong person always shows up. You ever had the guy 7 foot tall show up right in front of you? And he'll even look back. Sorry to be in front of you. You won't see the concert tonight. Too loud, too quiet, too fun, too old. But you can't believe it, right? Because there's rules with the mat. Let's go to another mat. Anybody ever been to the beach? Put your towel down. You get there early to hang out with God. And then the family from New Jersey on family reunion. Hope you're not from New Jersey, but it'll be all right. They show up, and the tourists don't know the rules, right? They put their towel sometimes like, seriously, dude? You don't know the rules? And have you ever watched them when they get the chips out? Please don't feed the seagulls. See, we all have mats. We have these rules. Today's 911. Remember where you were? I was at Denny's on Newtown Road. A buddy of mine, Mike Barnes, he's passed now, but we would have breakfast a certain Tuesday of every month. Had no idea what had happened. Went back to the church office, and they're all staring at a TV. Peter Jennings is talking. Fun note, me and Mike Barnes and our wives, we went to St. John's, Newfoundland, to see Bob Dylan in concert. Random fact for Bob. There you go. But do you have a mat with a date on it? Where you could say, you know, this happened. I could tell you where I was. I could tell you what happened. Before, I was okay, and ever since, something has changed. Say again? Well, thank you. I have a mat that I got rid of May 1st, 1999. See, the mat I had a rule. And it was this. And I carried it for years, decades. And it was this. If you knew me, you wouldn't really like me. If you knew me, you wouldn't love me. And I carried that in my marriage, carried that in my friendships, carried it everywhere. And so I was very careful about what people knew and didn't know about me, including my wife. And then in one of the darkest moments we went through, May 1st, 1999, she looked at me and she said, "I love you." And you see, what I thought was, if you knew me, you wouldn't love me. Couldn't. And when she knew everything about me and she decided, "I love you," all the rules changed that day for me. The freedom. You see, you don't know the power of love until you're fully known and someone still loves you. Because we're afraid to be vulnerable, right? And the rules changed for me that day. I could be me. I could be open and okay and be loved and accepted. And so May 1, 99, I got up off a mat. And so I'm going to wrap this up. Do you have a mat? Do you have a thing that somewhere in life is defining you? Do you have a mat in your marriage to where it's like, this is just how we do marriage? And if your spouse moves their mat too close, it's like, no, no. Do you have a mat around your heart? I don't let people get too close to me because, and then you can tell them why. Do you have a mat, you know, around forgiveness? Yeah. Can't forgive that. Before and after. Do you have a mat with dates on them? And you know the game changed. Maybe you have a coffee mat. Do not talk to me till I've had my cup of coffee. The guy for 38 years had a mat. It defined the parameters of his life. It defined everything. It identified him. And Jesus said, "Pick it up, let's go." And it's an amazing thing when you can get up and start walking towards something and walk away from something. And that day, that's what happened. And so, do you have anything that defines you that you're ready to change in your life? Do you have any rules that you know it's squeezing the life out of you? Do you have any place where you're not living John 10:10 life abundantly? To where you know life would be better if you got off that daggone mat and moved on from there. And so this guy's life was never the same. He never had to go back there again. Out of season, unexpected. And what about you today? Maybe Jesus wants to come by your mat and change your life. Maybe Jesus wants this to be the day the rules change for you forever. A before and an after. A get over something that's crippled you, wounded you, hurt you, defined you, hindered you. It's scary. Scary to think, I don't know how to live past that. I don't know how to be loved and vulnerable. I don't know how to let people close to me. I don't know how to get past that day. And I'm going to ask you, as they sing this song today, and take a moment and listen to these words. This song has rocked me for this message. And I want you to just listen to the words for a moment. And if you're here today and you would just say, "Hey, Bob, man, I hear you. And I need some rules changed in my life. I need to get over. I need to move past something. Would you just come find a place to pray today? Just like my friend, help. What do I say about it? Just say help if you don't know anything else. Do you want to be healed? Oh, man. You mean, yeah. That